You are listening to the Hey Kids Comics Radio Show, broadcast through the facilities of Trent Radio on 92.7 CFFF-FM in Peterborough, Canada.
Hey, kids.
I'm Batman.
Look, up in the sky. It's a bird.
It's a plane.
It's dance-off, bro. Me and you.
Hello, and welcome to Hey Kids Comics. I'm your host, Dan Collins.
Hey there, this is Martin Bruda.
Chris Gill.
Hi, I'm Sam Tweedle. I could talk about Archie forever.
The biggest bane to my existence right now is Shield number 9.
They know that I would have put it under my shirt and ran off.
What are you talking about? I haven't seen any Action Comics number 1.
Gwenpool, I mean Spider-Gwen, the whole heat and stuff, this is going to be worth a few bucks. And nobody wanted it.
Yes, Dan, the Killing Joke does need to be R-rated.
I kind of like punching the walls of reality as a way to bring a character back because nobody knows what we're talking about right now.
Dark Knight Strikes Back was one of the biggest piles of dung ever, and it was what, $10 an issue?
We need to shame Sam. He is not here because he's gone to the Gem and the Holograms movie.
Hey there, everybody. It's a Friday night. How's everybody doing today? It's Hey Kids Comics. My name is Martin Bruda.
And Chris Gilpin.
Our guest for today didn't show up, so we're going to have to wing this one on our own here, but that's no big deal.
We'll make him feel guilty.
We'll make do. We'll do all right. Sam is wherever Sam is, doing Sammy things.
Yep.
Dan's got a well-deserved day off, so he's doing whatever it is Dan does. Hopefully they're reading comics anyways.
Yeah.
But we'll see how that goes.
Yeah.
Lots of interesting things happened this week.
Crazy stuff.
Just crazy stuff. You want to start?
No, you can go ahead.
All right.
We'll build off of that.
Okay.
Typical DC.
The typical DC. So we got to start with Marvel this time around. Marvel does their big announcement about... now, they're not rebooting.
No.
They're not...
Just because you go from a high number to a number one...
But
does not mean reboot.
Exactly. But I guess in May, they're going to be restarting every single comic book, pretty much. They've already announced a whole bunch of new number ones. Captain America's getting a new number one in July. Who else? Black Panther's getting a new number one. Venom's getting a new number one. The Avengers are getting a new number one.
It's crazy. Like, it's... I mean, if they... had a big flash of light and everything changed, right? Like Peter, I don't know, maybe he's back at wherever with MJ, like, you know, but it's just changing the number.
Well, yeah, like I'm not following Marvel too closely myself, so I'm not 100% sure what's going on in each book, whether this is like a natural cutoff point, restart point, but this has to have something to do with Bendis. Because it seems like all of his ending issues are the month before. All his runs that he's doing. Because, of course, Brian Michael Bendis, big name Marvel writer, is moving to DC.
Yeah.
So it's not too much of a coincidence that most of his books are ending and then this initiative's kicking off.
Well, probably. I don't know. All I can speak towards is Thor, Mighty Thor.
Yeah.
Which... I'm reading the last two issues this afternoon, and I'm just going like, oh, Jane Foster, look at you. You're just skin and bones, literally. Right? So, you know, her leaving, Thor obviously coming back, that's almost like a given number one, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Mighty Thor is done. Jane, the storyline is called The Death of the Mighty Thor, so... We're assuming, like, honestly, I don't know when the issue came out because a bit of a backlog.
But yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Doctor Strange specifically told her, although Doctor Strange is a doctor and no longer the Sorcerer Supreme, so I don't know.
No, who's the Sorcerer Supreme now? Isn't it Loki? There you go.
What's happening? Anyways, Strange tells her, if you change back to Mighty Thor one more time, you're dead. Yeah, there's no ifs, ands, or buts. That's it. It was, you know, on the
now, is that a medical thing or a magical thing?
It's a medical thing.
Oh, okay.
Because, you know, I've talked about this before. She's fighting cancer. She takes chemo, but every time she turns into Mighty Thor, the hammer, the Thor, whatever personality sees the chemo as not natural and takes it out of her body. And the cancer just spreads and spreads and spreads. So every time she becomes Mighty Thor, she dies a little more. And she looks horrible in these last two issues. But, you know, they try to add some humor to it because they're Odin's son and Doctor Strange and Sam Wilson are in her hospital room. And the hammer is just trying to get to her because, you know, there's bad stuff going on in Asgard. And Odin's son's like, no, stay away. Go away.
There you go.
And she almost reaches for it, and then she's like, yeah, all right, I can't do it.
So she converts back to Thor that one final time, eh?
Well, she didn't do it. She went back into bed, and the hammer just kind of hovered outside of her hospital room.
But you know it's coming.
Well, like I said, I don't know when it is, but it can't be a spoiler, because you know, like Martin said, you know it's coming. The last issue that I just read, you know, she knows things are bad, and they need Thor. So the last panel is her grabbing and turning into Mighty Thor.
Well, there you go.
Yeah. But, you know, on the flip side, I don't know what his name is, but Thor left this dog, this big dog, to guard her room.
Yeah.
No hammers. So this dog is chasing away people. Are you a hammer? Get away from her. No hammers, right? So as she's grabbing the hammer, the dog's at the door goes, murder? Why you murder yourself? I'm just like, oh, this is me. So, and then that's it, right?
There you go. The heartstrings comes and starts pulling.
Yeah, but there's two more issues of this storyline. I thought maybe next month was going to be the last one, but they're stretching it out for two more. So,
well, it's got
It's
like the second last episode of Survivor. Yeah. They have the big reflection and you know, look at all the people who have gone before us. So you know there's going to be a big, huge, either a special or an issue where it's just going to be, oh, Jane.
Yeah.
And we have like a montage of
That's right. Of
Jane Foster and all that sort of stuff. And
yeah.
But, I mean, it's comic books. She's not dead. Yeah. She's coming back.
Oh, man, you should see her in these last two issues.
Because she's suffering from the cancer and all that stuff. But, like...
Now, it could be Death of Mighty Thor is no more Mighty Thor. I mean, she is the Mighty Thor, not Thor. So maybe she's giving it up and she goes to fight the cancer, right? So it's not like it's called the Death of Jane Foster. It's called the Death of Mighty Thor. So, yeah, there's room there for her to maybe survive, but...
Well, we'll see how it goes.
Yeah.
But like I said, I mean, we got Bendis leaving.
Yes, sorry.
We got... what is his name? C.B. Sabowski? Sabowski? In Polish, it should be Sabowski, but whatever. So he's taken over as the editor-in-chief. So, I mean, you got the Fox purchase. So now Marvel has their film rights back for certain characters. And we know that they kind of canceled an emphasis on those characters before in the comics because they didn't want to give competing movie studios free advertising. So now... You know, are we looking at Fantastic Four coming back? Are we looking at the X-Men comics? We've already been told that their chances are they're all going to get canceled and restarted.
Yeah, which is crazy.
So Blue, Gold, and Red and Extraordinary X-Men and all that other stuff. And I'm assuming that what we're going to get back is an X-Men book, an Uncanny X-Men book, X-Force, X-Factor, like all the old names.
Yeah.
But all with new number ones, which... Yeah. I mean, the whole purpose of Legacy was to stop that sort of stuff.
Yeah.
And yet, here we go again.
Yeah.
So they've got this big, huge banner poster to show it off. And front dead center is Spider-Man.
Yeah.
So we're assuming that, again, when Dan Slott leaves Spider-Man. Like, it's just, that's what I mean. Like, there's just so many things. Dan Slott's leaving Spider-Man.
Yeah.
You know, so are we getting a new Spider-Man number one as well?
It's got to be.
You know, who's in the costume?
Yeah.
Is it Peter Parker or not? Are we? I'm assuming it's because of the Legacy stuff. It's Peter Parker in the costume.
Well, that's the impression I'm getting. Bruce Banner's back. Tony Stark's back. Is Iron Man. Like, everyone's back. Hulk's alive. Thor's back. Like, everyone's going to be back to status quo from what I can see.
That's what it's looking like anyways for me.
Yeah.
I'm just trying to pull it up here.
Which they have to do. I mean, I know. You know, there was this guy at Worlds Collided. Martin almost beat up.
Oh my gosh! Okay. Oh. I read lots of comics. I read comics from every single darn publisher almost. But I am a big fan of DC. That's where I started. Mm-hmm. I've been reading their adventures for the longest period of time. So when Mr. Miracle makes like this offside, like this backhanded joke that nobody gets, but the one guy who remembers issue 12 of the third volume that came out in the 80s gets it. I'm that guy. I get it.
Yeah.
Simply because I've been following these characters for so long. And I have no idea what my point was. I just lost it.
The guy beating.
Oh yeah, the guy in the comic shop. Line, yeah. So we're in this comic shop, and there's a fellow there, around our age. We're not talking a young pup or whatever. And he's going on about the fact that DC Comics is also doing a little bit of a restart on some of their stuff, because again, Michael Bendis is coming to DC now. Yeah. So conversely, like we were going to get through the Marvel stuff first, but let's.
Yeah, we'll dive all over now, the place. Yeah.
So he's coming over, new Superman miniseries to relaunch the Superman titles. New Superman, new Action Comics. Super Sons is being canceled. Supergirl's being canceled. Superwoman's already gone.
Yeah, I think it's been.
If I'm not mistaken.
Yeah.
Trinity is gone. That's the Superman, Batman, Wonder Woman comic. So quite obviously, this is another Superman relaunch, even though the Superman Rebirth comics have been pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
And we also have Justice League of America, Justice League, doing a little bit of a reshuffle. So they're going to have a little, kind of like just like the Avengers just did, one issue a week. They're going to have a 4-issue miniseries or 8-issue miniseries, can't remember. One a week, and it's going to be all about the Justice League restructuring and all this stuff. And after that event, there's going to be some Justice League books, some new Justice League books. So a new Justice League of America, new Justice League, new whatever, Justice League of Canada, Justice League International, whatever they decide to call it.
Yeah.
So there's a little bit of a restart going on there.
Yeah.
And then DC also, and we'll talk about that later too, has two new publishing initiatives for young readers. Mm-hmm. DC Inc. and DC Zoom.
Zoom, yeah.
And these are going to be graphic novels and illustrated books, more for the young readers, more in the bookstores, more scholastic publishing style volumes like my kid reads. So any of the titles that were aimed at young readers, like I've heard officially and unofficially from some people that for DC, young reader comic books in the local comic shop is dead.
Hmm.
That's not where they're going to focus their efforts. They're going to focus their efforts for young readers and get them in the bookstore. Get them. Remember in school you used to get the Scholastic Book Order?
Yep.
And you fill it out and you got a whole bunch of books? Well, that's where they're going to be. They're going to be in that pamphlet. They're going to be, you know, that kind of stuff, pushing that. So Young Justice, DC Bombshells, Scooby-Doo, all of those books, the rumor is they're going away as well.
But coming back or something.
Coming back in a different form for young readers.
Right.
Now, apparently, Teen Titans is also going through a little thing. So Teen Titans and Titans are also going to be canceled and restructured and stuff like this. So it looks like DC's doing a similar initiative, but I think it's more a coincidence that these different storylines are converging at that time.
Yeah.
So this guy in the comic shop, he's like, oh, DC Comics being DC Comics. It's in their DNA to restart everything all the time. And he's just going on. And Tim, the comic shop owner, is attempting to correct him and say, well, actually, it's Marvel that has had an initiative almost every year.
Yeah.
DC had New 52 in, what, 2014? Then we had Rebirth in 2016. Mm-hmm. Before that, I mean, you have to go all the way back to Crisis on Infinite Earths for something similar.
Yeah.
So he's going on, and Tim's just like, actually, that's not quite right. And Marvel Now, and Marvel Legacy, and what were all the other ones called? You know, like just, it seems like Marvel, after every single major event that they had every year, kind of did this restart.
Mm-hmm.
Like there's, I can't remember what it is, like 13 Captain America number ones or something like this, or 7 or 8, or I don't want to exaggerate too much, but there's a ton of them. You know, so in this poster, again, we got the Spider-Man, we got the Black Panther, we got Deadpool, we got Gambit, we got Thor, we got
Captain America.
Captain Steve America. Steve Rogers, Captain America. Steve Rogers. We got Adam. Not Adam. I'm thinking DC. Ant-Man and the Wasp and Daredevil and Venom. And all of a sudden, Chris is like, wow, that sounds like the movie and TV show lineup.
Yes, we had that debate on our Facebook site because of the new Avengers number one.
Yeah, exactly. New Avengers number one is coming out, and all the Avengers seem to be movie properties.
Or TV.
Like Venom, the current guys.
Daredevil. Like, it's not a coincidence.
Well.
I mean, Martin thinks this.
I don't think. I was being a little bit of a smart butt about that. My point was that almost all of their characters are being developed as movie characters.
Yeah.
So it would be hard not to put a movie character in the lineup because they're all in it.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know if you know, seen the cast for Infinity of.
Oh, I know.
Infinity Wars. I mean, it's just massive.
But kind of related is those digests that were putting in the stores.
Yeah.
You know, those to me would have been a better idea if they weren't. Like Spider-Man, the Spider-Man one came out just before Homecoming.
Mm-hmm.
Avengers just came out. Thor just, and that's it. Well, there hasn't been one since.
Oh yeah, there's been five.
Five?
The one that just came
Black
out.
Black Panther?
Yep.
Oh,
the one that just came out is an Avengers featuring Black Panther.
Yeah.
So yeah, exactly. Aside from the X-Men one.
There's an X-Men one.
Yeah. But I mean, it did coincide with the Fox X-Men movie and stuff. So.
Yeah.
And I'm just looking at this cover, like, they chose Gambit on the cover of this poster. Gambit. Of all the X-Men to put on here. Now, Phoenix is on here, too.
Yeah.
Right? Jean Grey. But of all the X-Men to put on the cover, they have Gambit and Jean Grey. The two X-Men that have movies coming out shortly.
Yeah.
Or at least rumored movies, the Gambit movies, like, in development and stuff and dying and stuff. So I thought that was just interesting.
Yeah.
I wasn't disagreeing with you. I was kind of like poking fun and teasing.
But those digests, you know, it would have been nice if Marvel said, hey, let's put some comic books back in the checkouts, right? But instead it's like, how can we promote our movies more? Which is what they do. They make money. I get that. But
comic book companies have been notoriously bad at converting a movie's popularity into readership.
Yeah.
And I think that's what it was. I don't think it was necessarily to promote the movie, because more people are going to see the Black Panther movie than have ever read that digest.
No, yeah, yeah.
So I think it's more like, hey, you like the movie, by the way, while you're getting your ramen noodles and your six-pack of beer, here's a digest featuring the guy you just saw in the movie. And here's some comics and try to get them reading again. Whether it works or not, I don't know. But yeah, new Black Panther number one in May. Like, it's just a whole whack of reboots.
Yeah.
And DC's doing similar. Like I said, there's no doubt that the Teen Titans and the Titans are going to come back as either one single team or two new books. Batgirl Birds of Prey is canceled.
Yeah.
You know, it's just... I think everybody's cleaning house this spring.
Yeah.
I think that's what it is. I think everybody's just cleaning house.
Well, I mean, it has to be done, but I don't think there's a need for two Titans books.
But there's two Titans teams. Like, this is the problem with Rebirth and New 52. They kind of created this continuity disaster where you had fans of the Connor Kent version, Tim Drake version of the Teen Titans. And then you got guys like me that like the... Dick Grayson / Donna Troy version of the Titans. So how do you keep those two readers going? Well, you name one book the Titans and the other one the Teen Titans.
Yeah.
And yet, it's just a mess.
It is.
It's just a mess. So we'll see how it goes.
Yeah.
I mean, I keep an open mind and I'll see what happens, but as it stands right now, I'm $50 over budget on my pull list.
Yeah.
So I'm going to have to like slice and dice some books.
Yeah.
So books are going to have to be like really good in order to supplant one of the ones on my list.
Yeah.
Punisher's in here.
Did they drop the whole War Machine armor? Or is that...
Yeah, it's just him in a t-shirt with a skull.
Yeah.
Middle-aged Wolverine's here. So obviously Old Man Wolverine, something's going to happen there. And X-23 Wolverine, something's going to happen there. Doctor Strange is there doing his little magic, you know, voodoo power thingy.
Yeah.
the TV show Ghost Rider's here.
Oh, is it? Okay. Robbie Reyes is still Ghost Rider?
Yeah, that's definitely the Robbie Reyes Ghost Rider. Oh, I see Miles Morales in the top corner. I didn't notice that.
He's pretty popular.
Miss Marvel. Captain Marvel's on here, and of course she's got a movie on the way. Thor's got a gold hammer, though. I don't know what that's all about. And this is definitely Luke Cage and Jessica Jones.
Yeah.
And the new season of Jessica Jones on Netflix just got announced. So
yeah.
We'll see how that goes.
Yeah. So, what else did you... I read quite a bit, actually.
Comic book-wise? Yeah, I read a ton.
Yeah. Yeah.
I read a ton. Go ahead. What'd you read?
So, Kick-Ass and Hit Girl.
So, what do you think of Kick-Ass? Start there.
I liked it. It didn't feel... Like, it's hard to be
objective.
Anyways, it's hard to complain about what Marvel's doing with making everyone a woman and then liking Kick-Ass because she's a woman now. the word will come to me. But
hypocritical.
Hypocritical. Thank you. They set her story up well. I thought, like, it just wasn't some girl throwing on the suit for something to do and away you go. I like the backstory.
Yeah.
You know, ex-army, and I thought it was good. I mean, you know, pretty violent, but that's typical for Kick-Ass. I'm really interested to see where it goes. Hit Girl I like, because I really love the character of Hit Girl. I think she's awesome. But the art style. Did you read the Hit Girl?
I did not read Hit Girl. I read Kick-Ass.
It's very borderline anime, right? Where you get the funny looks and the squiggly lines and like...
anime drives me
very
nuts.
It's not fully, but it's very close.
Yeah.
But it's a... You know, it's an interesting... It was a good story. Like... You know, she's out there and she's looking for a new partner. And she tries to set up, she tries to get this kid to do it, but he doesn't do very well. But who she gets, it's really funny. Like, it's like blackmailing this hitman, assassin, really bad guy into being her new partner. Like, it was good. The artwork was iffy for me, but, so far, I liked it. I mean, it's still Mark Millar, right? Or whatever. Mark Millar, Millar, whatever you want to pronounce it. But so, that was good.
Cool.
Walking Dead, I read the last couple issues. I mean, that's done like a 180. It's gone in a whole different direction. I know you don't read the current issues. You more get the trade paperbacks. But there's a huge focus on Michonne. And her, I don't want to spoil it because you got to read it, but it's very touching. It's to me, it's a game changer.
Right.
For what made Michonne the, you know, zombies on leashes, sword swinging badass. It's a game changer. Like, it's great. You know, I'm almost like bubbling up like tears. I was like, oh my God, that's awesome. Anyways, so those two issues were great too. Invincible is done.
Now, I was reading Invincible in trade, and for some reason, I can't remember what, but something happened, and I almost kind of dropped all my trade reading.
Yeah.
Walking Dead, Invincible, there's a few other ones. And I left off after the fourth soft reboot, maybe the third soft reboot. Where he comes back after, like, he comes back after, like, leap. I'm trying to be funny here.
Yeah, not a reboot. Anyways, I know what you mean.
So, my understanding is that's it. The series is over.
It is.
So, how did it end? Spoilers. Let's go.
Well, it was very interesting because it had been building up to Mark Invincible leading the, I can't, the alien race that his father is or right. was. But as soon as you see the cover to the last issue, it's his daughter, who, as far as we've seen, is like 4 or 5 years old, or four, well, on the cover, she's obviously in her teens, and she's wearing the Invincible outfit. So I was like, oh, okay. So I started reading it, and it's a thicker issue, which is nice, but it went very different. A lot of time jumps.
Right.
Like, so you see Tara, his daughter, go from a kid through all these different stages to end up flying around in the Invincible suit.
Right.
You also see his son, who is the product of that very infamous issue where the one woman basically raped him.
Uh-oh. Is that the purple kid?
No, he's white.
Oh, okay.
Purple kid is his brother.
Oh, that's right.
His brother.
Okay.
Yeah. And the kid's name was Mark or Marcus or something like that. So you see him grow up as well, and he becomes, he's wearing the Invincible outfit as well at some point in time. So it was good. It wrapped things up quite a bit. I just didn't expect so many time jumps in it. I found that kind of strange, but I guess if you're looking to wrap things up and kind of close it off, as I'm reading it, I'm half expecting a spin-off issue.
Oh, yeah.
But there was no mention of it, right?
Right.
But I thought for sure with Tara wearing the outfit and Mark Jr. wearing the outfit, I'm expecting for sure.
So they're leaving it open anyways.
Well, you could do anything at this point.
Right.
Right? Because with her as the Invincible, she's flying into a battle with new superheroes fighting new supervillains. So technically they could if they wanted to. I don't see Kirkman writing it. He'd probably be focused somewhere else.
But. Yeah. Well, I mean, he's got the new Oblivion song coming out soon.
Yeah.
Which I read. I don't know why they gave us a review copy so far in advance. Mm-hmm. But it's pretty neat.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know.
Basis?
Spoilers-ish, kind of. So basically what it is there is some sort of an alternative dimension that monsters came out of and attacked Earth and stuff. And they defeated these monsters and everything was great. But it also, I don't know whether it sucked a whole city over. They didn't do the details on that. But mm-hmm. a whole bunch of people ended up in this alternative dimension.
Oh, okay.
So the government sent rescue forces and stuff, and they start rescuing all these people. And there's this scientist who is kind of head of this rescue operation and stuff like this. And they rescue X number of people, but after a while, they can't find any more people, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, it's easy, like in Walking Dead, it's if you were to try to gather up every single one of those little colonies and stuff,
mm-hmm.
after a while, you'd run out, but there'd still be people wandering the highways and stuff.
Yeah.
So they lose their funding because they haven't rescued anybody in a few years, and he's still a maverick going over there to that dimension and saving people because he's looking for his brother who disappeared.
Oh, that sounds cool.
And of course, you know, that dimension has aliens and creatures, and he dimensionally pops and warps back and forth, and there's goo, and, you know, exactly what you'd expect from pan-dimensional, you know, travel. So that's what the book is basically about, is this guy going back and ultimately looking for his brother.
And when's it due out? Months, I'd say.
A month?
Oh, okay.
3 weeks?
Oh, okay, so it's, okay.
Fairly soon.
Yeah.
Fairly soon, a couple of weeks, 3 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, everyone's saying that this is Kirkman's swan song, Oblivion song is his swan song, for Walking Dead. If this book takes off and is as popular, he might finally write that final chapter he has in mind for Walking Dead.
Yeah.
You know, and move on from that property.
Based on the last two issues of Walking Dead, it can be done.
Yeah.
Like,
and it, like you said about Invincible, there's absolutely no reason why he can't shut down the Walking Dead chapter mm-hmm. and have other creators create Fear the Walking Dead comics mm-hmm. type stuff. Mm-hmm. You know, branch off, and he can milk that property for decades. Yeah. But he doesn't have to be the one pushing it and writing it and stuff like this.
Mm-hmm.
This is like Tom McFarlane with Spawn. Like, he walked away from the book for a while.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
You could do the same thing.
Yeah, I mean, Walking Dead, like, a whole new community. Not even a community. There's like 50,000 people in this place. You know, well-organized soldiers slash cops. And you just expect... I mean, that's been obviously a repeating theme. New community, they want to control, blah, blah, blah. But you're hoping that maybe this is good. But the odd thing is the last two issues, no Rick, no Maggie, no Carl, right? Like, not at all. The issue before that was Maggie and Negan kind of talking it out too, right? So
they're basically trying to show that the book can survive without the cast.
Yeah. I mean...
But they used to do that all the time, though, didn't they? You know, focus sometimes here and there on different stuff?
Yeah. But this could be, if this community is what they say they are, like they say they have concerts and sporting events, and I mean, this could be home.
Yeah,
like this could be the utopia, right? Especially with what happened with Michonne, which I still think is awesome. But it could be they could wrap it up. Yeah, people, that's a small city, right? We're not talking Alexandria. I don't know. We'll see.
Well, shoot, what's the population of Peterborough?
Somehow it's hovered around 75,000 for the last 20 years.
There you go. So that's not too bad.
No,
it'd be a decent community.
And honestly, I would be content.
Yeah.
If they were happy, I'd be happy, the end. I still love it.
Well, that's one of the reasons why my wife Carly can't watch The Walking Dead show, because she says it never ends.
Yeah.
That nobody's ever happy. There's no good ending.
But
it's always just, well, here comes some more.
It's human nature.
Yeah.
I want to be the one in charge, or we're going to be the ones in charge, and you're going to do whatever we like. It's comics, it's fiction, but it's human nature.
Exactly.
Everybody fights for the power.
So we'll see how that goes.
Yeah.
I read Deathbed from Vertigo.
Yeah.
And I got to tell you, like, Imaginary Fiends is from Vertigo, and we talked about that on a previous show. That's the one where... kids with imaginary friends. The imaginary friends actually aren't. They're like these pan-dimensional, again, dimensions.
Dimensions.
Sprites or something that feed off of human emotion.
Yeah.
And one of the girls that has this imaginary friend becomes an FBI agent to help solve crimes, because the FBI knows that this is an actual thing. So they have a specialist in that field,
and only you can see.
Only she can see, you know, her imaginary friend, and
right.
So they're hoping her imaginary friend will help.
Yeah,
you know, that kind of stuff.
Because obviously, the imaginary friends can see each other.
Yeah, exactly. Right. So that was a great comic book.
It's
issue two or three so far.
Yeah,
Deathbed just came out from Vertigo, and I gotta tell you, like, if Vertigo was publishing books like this the whole time, the imprint wouldn't be on life support.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you can barely even name a Vertigo book from the last 2 years that's in any way memorable.
Yeah.
So Deathbed is about an adventurer guy, and he's dying, so he gets this young lady to come and be his ghostwriter. But she's not dying, and she is basically Doctor Whoing. Like, he's Doctor Who and she's the companion.
Mm-hmm.
So come on these adventures with me. Now, it's not clear whether he is dying and this is his final adventure.
Right, right.
But that's the premise, that he gets her into the mansion and stuff like this.
Here's a shot for you. Oh, that's what I needed to see.
There you go.
I'm glad I don't have my glasses on.
So it's a...
Not for kids?
Yeah. I mean, like, the one scene in the bedroom... There's, like, demons all over the place, and he's wearing nothing but a gun belt and an AK-47. And
literally, like, nothing.
You know, I hope you brought your dancing shoes, Melon Farmer. Needless to say, it's not Melon Farmer. Yeah.
Oh, man.
You know, and she's kind of narrating in the background, and, you know, admittedly, it was an odd thing for Luna to yell as undead mummy assassins stormed his bedroom.
Oh,
so it looks like a hoot and a half of an adventure book, but...
Like, sorry, I blanked out for a second. I thought, what was the... What was the book with the
Imaginary Fiends?
Imaginary Fiends, okay, sorry.
Is the one with the fiends. And this is...
That's Deathbed.
This is Deathbed.
Okay.
And number one just came out on Wednesday. And I'm sure that the second Sam sees a copy of it, he's going to go crazy. He's going to get it. But it's hilarious.
Now, is it supposed to be hilarious, or is it just...
Well, I think it's an action-adventure kind of...
It's not
goofy
shirtless bear fighter hilarious.
Yeah, it's not quite as slapsticky as shirtless bear fighter.
And there's no slapsticking going on there either.
Yeah.
It's all out there.
It's all out there. So that was a fun book.
Yeah.
That looks like a lot of fun. And yeah, like I'm doing, because most of the solicitations came out this week. We don't have the final previews. That's coming Wednesday. But I'm going through, because I'm a numbers nerd. It's just so pathetic. So I'm doing my little comic 2018 May analysis spreadsheet. And I got graphs. I got pie charts. I got formulas in here that count comic shop discounts and stuff like this. For example, I can tell you right now that 50% by quantity are DC Comics in my pull list.
Mm-hmm.
51.9% by money, which is kind of weird because DC Comics are usually cheaper. But I'm looking at this list, and there's like 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 comics from Aftershock.
Yeah.
You know, 2 from Dark Horse. What do we got here? 1, 2, 3, 4 from Image. And none of these books were on my list 4 months ago, 5 months ago, 6 months ago.
Yeah.
You know, I got Strangers in Paradise here from Abstract Studios. I've never read a Strangers in Paradise book in my life, and all of a sudden they're here.
But you could.
But I can, yeah.
No, you could read.
Why? Oh, I have.
I know some guy who's selling a set.
You know a guy who knows
a
guy
who's
trying to sell some?
Yeah.
And, of course, the Captain Canuck year one is going to be catching up in May. Issues 3 and 4 are gonna pop at the same time, in theory. So that means issue 2 should be popping sometime soon, even though they're all, like, brutally late.
Mm.
If I'm not mistaken, it was, like, supposed to be December, but... So they're coming out and stuff. But, yeah, I'm just looking at this like, I lied. I'm $68.53 over budget.
Wow.
I mean, with our sales at the barn going as stellar as they are, that's going to be a bit of a problem. But in the Marvel camp, on Marvel 2-in-1, right, that's got to be leading to a Fantastic Four book.
I skipped over issue 2. I want to read it.
Yeah.
Because I like number one. I thought it was great.
Like, you bought it, but you haven't read it yet?
No, I didn't. I didn't pick it up for some reason.
Oh, okay.
I don't know why. I just, with everything else I was trying to catch up on.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like, I got to like skip over something, right?
Well, it's the same thing with the Wolverine, Hunt for Wolverine miniseries that's coming out. You know what the end result is.
Yeah.
Phoenix Resurrection. Like, okay, so bring the Phoenix book out already.
Yeah.
Why didn't you make this the first 4 issues of the Phoenix series? Why?
Yeah.
Why make it a special thing? X-Men Gold. Don't ask me why.
Yeah.
It's really not been great.
No.
I don't know.
I'm really far behind on both, of all the X-Men.
Yeah.
So.
And then the Domino book, issue 2. So I'm hoping that's good.
Hmm.
So it's Gail Simone's writing that. And so.
Yeah. Who's the artist?
Fingers crossed. I'm not sure.
Yeah.
And that's weird because that's like, I should know who the artist is, but first, excuse me. For some reason, as soon as I heard Gail Simone, I was like, okay, all right, I'm done. Yep, I'm picking up.
Yeah, I'll give her a chance for sure.
Pestilence is coming back. But yeah, like this list is just... 14.8% of my pull list is Aftershock.
Even though I'm going too long without picking up my books, I've cut my list down so much that it's not like killer when you walk in.
Right? Yeah, exactly.
No.
Now, I don't know about you, but more and more of my books are ending up in at Great Guardian.
I'm still split about 50-50-ish.
Yeah. I think that's where I'm at, too, is 50-50. But, you know, it just, man, the convenience.
Yeah.
Not having to drive all the way to Whippy every week. Because I'm too impatient not to get, you know, wait 3 weeks to go get my books.
Yeah.
I know our buddy Davis, he gets his books once a month. I'm like, how do you do that?
Mm-hmm.
How is that possible? And then I'm looking at the big pile of unread books beside my my reading stand. And I'm like, oh, that's how you do it.
Yeah.
You just have to have patience.
Oddly enough, I think I was at Grey Guardian more recent than our trip to CBA the other day.
Right. So probably Friday or Thursday afternoon?
Yeah, but my books were thicker at Guardian than they were at CBA. So I guess they are moving over a little bit.
Yeah, so we'll see how it goes.
Yeah.
Of course, the big Amazing Spider-Man 796 fiasco.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
I don't, you know, the same day that people are buying it on Wednesday, where the day came out, they're buying it off eBay for 15 to 20 bucks US or whatever, and other guys are posting it saying, hey, I just got this from my store for $2.99 or $3.99. What are you guys doing?
Well, I think what it is like, Peter Rose, we're a little bit lucky because we can drive fairly, it's only about an hour to Whitby. And in Whitby, Oshawa area, there's three comic shops.
Yeah.
Peterborough has one.
Yeah.
So if Peterborough was like Timmins out there, and some flippin' Yahoo gets there, like the one guy on the Facebook post, store opens at 11. 11:05, every single copy's gone off the shelf.
Yeah.
So that means like the very first monkey that walked through the door went, I'm going to be rich and send my kids to college and grab 13 copies, 10 copies, 5 copies, whatever, and just blew everybody else out.
Yeah.
Now, some people are saying, oh, well, you should have a pull list, and that way your stuff gets reserved. Well, my buddy Harry, his comic shop got shortchanged, and he didn't get a copy.
Yeah. The pull lists aren't everything.
You know. Now, magically, it turns out that all of a sudden, after he was... He didn't really raise a big stink, but a copy showed up magically.
There you go.
So does that mean the comic shop threw a whole bunch under the counter? And because there's always that fiasco.
Yeah.
Now, Steve at Comic Book Addiction, he always, like, I never begrudge a retailer from making cash.
No, that's what they need to do to stay open.
That's what they're doing. That's why they're staying open. They get hosed on dropped pull lists all the time. I cancel a book. In theory, I've ordered 3 months ahead, so I should get 3 more copies when I cancel it.
Mm-hmm.
He takes them. He takes them right back. He doesn't charge me for them. So he could get stuck with some obscure, stupid book like Charlton Arrow number 3 that I ordered and didn't pick up.
Yeah.
So I never begrudge somebody to try to make a few bucks.
No.
But what he does is he made sure X-Men Gold number 1 when it came out.
Mm-hmm.
That was the big book with the big religious fiasco and all that sort of stuff. He made sure every single person in his pull list got their copy at cover.
Yeah.
Then he put the rest a day later at the counter at an inflated price.
Yeah.
You know?
For me, I mean, I mentioned this the other day. If a guy's going to walk off the street, I use the quotation mark collectors, and some people online don't like those quotation marks. But if a guy's going to walk off the street and buy the 20 copies and then sell them for 20 bucks on eBay, why not let the store do it? Let the store make some money so it stays open.
Exactly.
Like, but, you know, these guys are collectors too, because that's how they collect. Oh, never mind.
Yeah, there's always that whole debate, right?
Yeah.
Who's a collector, who's not a collector, and anyways.
I
think what we need to do to break up this serious conversation that we're having about comic books is we got to talk about Luann.
Oh,
Sam's not here.
I do not read.
So we have to do a Luann update.
Right.
So I'm going to be Sam, and I'm going to do a Luann update for us, if that's okay.
Yep.
And it's going to be completely on the fly.
Mm-hmm.
I just have 3 weeks of comics in front of me on my tablet, and I don't think I'm going to do it justice, but we're going to try.
But you heard last week, right? We got a big update.
Big update.
Okay.
Somebody was hosing somebody.
And someone's moving in with someone else. And
someone else moved. Yeah. Well, there's a blonde lady talking to a brunette, telling her that her souffle is fake.
Okay.
And the brunette is saying, fake, I'm an official rep. You're an official cheat, she says, the blonde. So there's like, you know, oh, I want my money back. Trademark infringement. Ooh, here, take your money back and scram. So they're having a little cat fight over money.
Right.
So now she's like, give you back your money. And now it's, I'm not doing this really. I'm not doing a good job of Luann. I guess I should know who these people are.
Yeah, I should remember from last week.
Anyways, blonde lady wants $400 extra money. Brunette scam artist gives it to her. confidential information. And yeah, next week. Les, escort this troublemaker to her car. So I guess one of the guy's name is Les.
Mm-hmm.
Whoever Les is.
Yeah.
Ooh, Les is faced with a decision. Does he give the confidential guest list to blonde lady or brunette lady? Stay tuned next week as Sam tells me exactly how badly I did. Telling you all about Luann.
That's right.
Luann. Yeah, I don't think that worked.
No.
We need Sam for Luann. Sam, where are you?
Yeah.
Maybe he could phone in Luann updates when he's not around. Can you imagine that? He's reviewing a show and all of a sudden he starts talking into his phone.
Yeah.
And then Luann. Nick Wilson number 2 came out, but I didn't get a chance to read that. The Further Adventures of Nick Wilson.
Who's Nick Wilson?
Have you not read this yet?
Yeah.
So, it's a superhero.
Mm-hmm.
You know, whatever his name was, Mighty Man or something like this. He loses his powers.
Okay, it's starting to sound familiar.
And now he doesn't have any source of income, and he got depressed, so he became a drunk, and he famously did some stupid things in the press and embarrassed himself, and so now he's just a loser on the street, and to make money, he impersonates himself at kids' birthday parties.
Yeah, okay, remember that now.
So it's like Clark Kent is down on his luck and makes money by being a Superman impersonator at bar mitzvahs.
Right.
So issue 2 came out, but I didn't get a chance to read it. So.
No.
No, I read a lot of Bronze Age books.
Yeah.
Some of those ones that we picked up on Thursday.
Mm-hmm.
So I was reading like the old DC, Copper Age DC Star Treks and some Conans and stuff like this. So I was catching up on a lot of that stuff, but I did read something else and it's just completely escaping me.
Well, I read when I was reading Hit Girl and Kick-Ass, I got those at Worlds Collide. And I grabbed them and I said, oh, Martin must be loving these boards and bags.
Oh.
There has to be at least a quarter of an inch space between the board and the bag.
It's current size boards and Silver Age bags.
I just laugh at, Martin's brain gets home and he just starts rebagging them.
Oh, I do.
I know you
do. I absolutely do. Rebag everything.
Oh.
I absolutely do rebag absolutely everything. And then, I mean, we can get into my issues with that.
Yeah. I'm skipping back here. Did you see any Amazing Spider-Mans at any of the three stores?
None of the three stores we were at had Amazing Spider-Man 796.
I didn't think so.
None of them. Not even Gnu, the home of multiple copies.
Yeah.
None of them had them. So some kid ran around. Now, the one we were looking on the eBay, the flea bay, one guy had 72 copies already sold. Because it says, like, if you've got a multiple listing, you're selling 100 copies, it tells you how many are left, right? He had sold 72 copies at $1,843 or $1,853 US.
Like
$23 Canadian.
I mean, good for him. If he can find people to pay that.
But I'm looking. Most of that was like a pre-order. People like pre-ordering it for him.
I don't...
So, yeah, sorry, we were talking. If you're a comic shop like Timmins,
mm-hmm.
right,
mm-hmm.
and somebody buys all the copies and you're a diehard Spider-Man fan, but you're not diehard enough to have a pull list, what do you do?
Go online and read it.
Yeah, but you got to have the copy.
Well, you can buy that 6 months from now when they're back at $2.99 or $3.99.
In theory. Now, are they the guys that are buying it for $20 a piece, or are these the morons that think it's going to go up to $40?
These are the speculators that think it's going to be. Everyone's looking for the next Action Comics number one, and there just is never going to be one.
Yeah.
Even New Mutants 98, there's never going to be another one of those.
Well, it's just like when Walking Dead hit $2,000 for number one, all of a sudden everybody was buying every single number one coming out of Image.
Yeah, but there's a reason for Walking Dead, the print run. And it was a great book.
Yeah.
Great story.
Well, Saga was the same thing, right?
Yeah.
Like, Saga took off. But things like, you know, Redneck was the big hype book. Oh, you can't get any copies of Redneck. You got a Redneck. And it's like, yeah, no, you can get Redneck.
Yeah.
It's not hard.
Yeah, exactly.
You know?
Yeah.
So, I don't know. We'll see how it goes.
The only thing sustaining is that stupid Hulk book.
Which my buddy Harry is also missing.
No.
The Weapon H or whatever?
Patience, Harry. Patience. It'll be in the...
Yeah.
You'll find it for $3.99.
No problem. Yeah, exactly. You could go on a big huge snipe hunt trying to find shield number 9 and then
that's right.
Find it and get all excited and you're all happy and then Marvel decides, oh yeah, we're gonna have this big huge variant sale and sell all these variants that we have overprinted sitting in our warehouse. And one of them is shield number 9.
That's right.
Did you order an extra copy of these?
No. I something's changed inside me because I walked into CBA the other day and they had Phoenix Resurrection number 1, Arthur Adams variant. It was $35. Typically, I would either buy that or ask them to hold it for me, and I just kept on walking.
What?
I know. I don't know why.
You walked away from an Arthur Adams variant cover.
Yeah.
I'm shocked.
I'm shocked, too.
I'm crushed. I'm devastated. Yeah. I don't know what to do now.
I don't know.
Like, I literally don't know what to do. What do I do now?
I don't know. Times are changing, I guess. I'd love to go back and get it, but yeah. It is what it is.
I know you guys talked a little bit about conventions last episode.
Mm-hmm.
And I intend to go to all conventions wearing a suit, a fedora, and a briefcase.
Yes. Don't forget your briefcase, because it makes you look like a real...
reporter.
Comic book fan. Reporter.
I talked to Sam about that afterwards. He totally missed the fact that you were razzing him about a briefcase. I was just like, what a Martin Dick move to do. That was just, you were just channeling me 100%. That was awesome.
Well, I mean, I don't watch award shows anymore, but when I used to, I always thought, wow, look at all those briefcases.
Now, mind you, you know, Sam has the back room scene.
Yeah.
Maybe they do show up with briefcases at the outset.
Yeah.
Then put all their loot in it and stuff in their grab bags and stuff.
Didn't George Costanza have a briefcase at one time that had like nothing in it? Wasn't there an episode?
Yeah.
Oh, man.
I think he had his lunch in it.
Something like that. Yeah.
That was it. He was taking his briefcase to work.
Oh, man.
So, yeah, conventions are coming up. I got to sit down and I got to go through my calendar because... They're just going to surprise us. Isn't Toronto Comic Con March?
Yep. Middle of March. That's like 3 weeks away.
Soon?
Yeah.
Holy moly.
I don't know if I'm going or not.
Well, I'm going for sure. I know Chris Ellis is going to do a carpool.
Mm-hmm.
So there's it'll just be a one-day thing. And so I'm definitely going for the Saturday. But yeah, no, I'm not doing a 3-day thing with hotel rooms and all that sort of stuff.
I should go just to look around.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Like I'm the only person broker than me right now is
me.
The guy, yeah, the guy who I owe money to, because he's not getting paid.
No.
So yeah, I'm not gonna have big bucks to throw around at the show, but you know, at least just say hi to everybody again and make some contacts and stuff and just have a good time and. I mean, the Peterborough Comic Con, the best part about the whole show was just hanging out at everybody's tables and shooting the poop and you know, that was fun. So that's what I'm hoping for. I know Sam's pretty excited about some of the guests that are coming up, especially for Niagara.
Yeah.
There's a big stuff. I don't think I'm going to Niagara.
There's a lot. I mean, I mentioned this last week. There's a lot of great shows.
Yeah.
I just can't afford to go to all of them.
Well, the last two times we went to Niagara, we ended up finishing early.
Yeah.
Like, it's a good show. Don't get me wrong. There's lots.
Oh, there's tons to do.
But for us, it kind of finished pretty quick. And I'm sure if we stood in autograph lines for an hour or so, it would take up a lot of our spare time. But that wasn't really what we were doing. And
no.
So we kind of got in and got out pretty darn quick, I think.
Yeah.
So I don't know if... And that's not a day trip.
You know, well, it can be.
You gotta stay overnight somewhere.
We did Ottawa.
We did Ottawa, and I'm never doing Ottawa again like that. That was brutal.
I thought it was great.
That was like 12 hours in the car.
That was
12 hours in a car and a major convention.
Yeah.
That killed me.
That was great.
It shouldn't have been 12 hours. But I mean, we stopped here, we stopped there, we stopped here, went downtown, we stopped there.
Yeah.
Holy moly. But it was fun. It was all right.
Yeah. And they're getting good guests, too, in Ottawa.
Yeah, Ottawa's a good show. They got lots of great guests there.
Yeah.
I'm thinking I'm going to do Fan Expo, maybe just the Saturday, maybe the Friday and the Saturday. That's probably what I'll do. So I'll go down Friday, get in, Because I don't imagine it'll be hard to get in Friday afternoon-ish.
Yeah.
It's not usually. And do the show, get a room for Saturday night, come back Saturday, do a little bit of whatever, and then go home Saturday night.
Yeah.
I might do that.
Yeah.
Or just go down Saturday and stay over Saturday night and go home Sunday. I don't know.
Yeah. I mentioned before that my priority is to meet Arthur Adams, who is apparently going to be there.
Has it been officially announced yet? Not yet.
Depends who you ask. Well, not officially. It's not on the Fan Expo website.
Yeah, it's not on the Fan Expo website.
But you talk to people. And
Kevin Boyd hasn't made an official announcement on his Facebook page, and I'd say it's not official.
Yeah, because they got double booked last year. And, yeah.
Because I know, I know two people, for example, that just got announced for one of the Fan Expo shows.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm 99% positive these two actors are going to be at Fan Expo Canada.
Oh, the.
But it hasn't been announced yet officially, so. You know,
you're talking about the guys from Space. Did you see that Space 2001? The two actors? No,
I wouldn't be talking about.
I thought that was cool though. But anyways,
I would not be talking about any kind of insider information that I may or may not know.
Okay, tell me after.
I'll tell you after.
All right. Okay.
In private.
Yeah.
Over Red Bulls.
Yeah.
But so you know, the announcements are still coming.
Yeah,
they're still coming. So
it's just. I mean, I know. The headshot sketch probably is out because it's like $400 or $500.
Well, wouldn't there be like a, for somebody like Arthur Adams, wouldn't there be like a package?
Where I would just, I would think so.
There's like, gotta
I
be.
I would sell a kidney to get by one of those packages.
Well, there's gotta be.
Like, I mean, headshot, autograph, picture, whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
Right? I would do that. Well, I would try to do that for sure.
Yeah, there's gotta be something.
You would think so, because, I mean, he's really, yeah, I know I talk about him all the time, but he has a big following.
Sure he does. And he
very rarely, I mean, I don't know when he came to Toronto last, if ever, but I'm on his fan page, so hopefully we'll see something there too, but.
Yeah, I mean.
But I have to buy the ticket to get in and then to see him, right? So.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Well, he's a big name draw.
Yeah.
So there's got to be something going on.
I would think so.
Well, unfortunately, we didn't have our guest today. We're going to talk about Bronze Age comics that we grew up with. So instead, we news review show instead.
Yeah,
that's good. But eventually, right. I mean, maybe when Sam's here, we'll try revisiting that and talk about some of the older comics.
Mm-hmm.
My Marvel history collecting from back then is pretty colorful.
Yeah,
a lot of the movie tie-in stuff and sci-fi stuff.
Yeah.
And Godzilla and Micronauts and stuff like this. So,
yeah.
Other than that, I think that's it for us. So, everybody have a good week.
You have been listening to the Hey Kids Comics Radio Show broadcast through the facilities of Trent Radio on 92.7 CFFF FM in Peterborough, Ontario, and available as a downloadable podcast at www.heykidscomics.ca and at www.firstcomicsnews.com. Promotional consideration for the show was provided by no one. Are you kidding me? We couldn't get advertisers if we tried. Wardrobe for our hosts was provided by Joe Nerds in Whitby, Ontario. They don't know that fact, but that is where we get 90% of our clothes from. No animals were harmed in the making of this radio show. Marty tried, but allergies won't let him get too close to Sam's cats. The views and opinions expressed by Sam are solely his own and do not necessarily reflect the views or opinions of the rest of the hosts, as we all like The Walking Dead TV show. The Hey Kids Comics Radio Show is a Quinn Martin production and copyright Hey Kids Comico. Rebroadcasting in part or in whole of this show is forbidden, but really, who would want to anyway?